O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. It's the fullness of your grace that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. You may be seated. Luther, 16th century Reformation founder Martin Luther, preached, and we have of his English translations and audio readings of at least two sermons on Lazarus and the rich man. And I remember that being a graduate of Gettysburg Lutheran Seminary, I heard Luther reverently quoted without fail in every student and faculty sermon preached the years that I was there. And it was never past tense, Luther said. It was always Luther says, as if he's a real presence in the congregation checking to make sure you get it right. But I love Luther's preaching because it's never pretentious. And Luther took great pride in keeping his sermon short. And his preaching is always down to earth for everyone in the pew. When I hear Luther, I stop and listen, as this week in reading and hearing these two sermons on this gospel from Luke 16 that Luke pityingly calls the rich man and poor Lazarus. He always says, "Armor Lazarus, poor Lazarus." He always refers to Lazarus as poor Lazarus. And we take this gospel lesson as a parable, but picking up on the fact that Luke does not say it's a parable, Luther says it may be a parable, and you may take it that way if you wish, but Luther himself chooses to take it literally as recounting a historical event in human life, and Luther preaches it accordingly. Now, if you know something about Martin Luther, you may know that he's commonly misunderstood to hold in his Pauline sola fide theology of salvation by faith alone, to hold that what we do does not matter, only what we believe. But this is not so, because in line with what Genesis and Hebrews tell us about Abraham, whom he cites often, Luther teaches Glaube und Gehorsam, belief and obedience. Faith is belief and obedience, and faith without obedience is unbelief and not faith at all, no matter how piously one worships and sings and prays and praises and tithes and puts on the right shoe first. Now, in the summary of the law, we just heard it. Jesus says, love God, love neighbor, where loving God is loving your neighbor. And if you are not loving your neighbor as your life of faith, then your claim to loving God is a lie. The Bible says so, is a lie, just as in this story of poor Lazarus and the rich man, and not just a damn lie, but a damning lie in what Luther calls the other life that will land you with the rich man in Gehenna, fiery Hades of terrible thirst, as you abide in eternity until the day of judgment. The story is not about Lazarus. It's about the rich man whom Jesus holds up as precisely what I am not to be. Luther goes into detail about how pious and keeping the Sabbath and all that the rich man must have been in this life, proudly regarding himself as holy and good, while entirely missing the point of loving God, which is to love neighbor. However, Luther also goes on at length into the obvious belief and obedience of poor Lazarus that lands him in Abraham's bosom, which is what the Greek, how the Greek describes it, lands him in Abraham's bosom for his wait until the day of judgment, while the rich man waits thirsting in Hades. And taking it as history, not parable, Luther points out that being a poor, naked beggar covered with sores is in itself no more a virtue than being a rich man is in itself a sin. It's whether one lives this life in faithful obedience that makes the difference in salvation or damnation in what Luther calls the other life. So Luther says, poor Lazarus obviously was obedient and trusting in his own assigned place in this life. Otherwise, he would not be resting in Abraham's bosom in the other life. And as Bailey Melzer said, and I was said again this morning, and that's the essence of the gospel. You rocked it. Now, 16th century, just coming out of the Middle Ages, Luther was more not only about this story, him taking it as history, not parable, but that when we die, we wait abiding, conscious, and aware for the end time judgment. Paul calls this in his writing, asleep in Jesus or sleeping in Christ. Luther says that for all he knows, this rich man who was so wealthy and selfish may still be waiting and thirsting in torment, and poor Lazarus may still be waiting in Abraham's bosom for the rest, along with the rest of us faithful, as eternity is timeless, without days or hours or years or centuries, because with God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. It's all one and the same in eternity, while the time of life in which we humans live is simply bracketed in the eternity of God. So time is a bracket within eternity, I think is an intriguing theological proposition that for me, a one-time amateur astronomer, fits the idea of Earth rotating on axis in our day, revolving around the sun in our year, as our solar system moves within our Milky Way galaxy that is circling around its central black hole, which is consuming stars, as our particular universe continues to expand, all in our human time that is just a whiff of the Creator's eternity. For all his digressing, Luther totally nails it. The point of Jesus' story, as Luke tells it, not a threat, but a warning, a promise from the Word of God himself, that if we do not love our neighbor, love, agape, being how we treat other people, thoughtfulness, consideration, kindness, generosity, that loving kindness of sharing all that we have with those in need, if we do not lovingly share, we end up in company with this rich man thirsting in the fires of Hades, like Beckett's Estragon waiting for Godot of time. And by the way, Beckett, French, it's not Godot, it's Godot. Now, how you want to take all that in your postmodern century 21 theological sophistication is not my problem. And it's also not God's problem, as God freely offers salvation through the belief and obedience that is the faith of Jesus Christ, who, when all is said and done, said, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second commandment is the only way to love God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, where your neighbor is not the equally well-off Jones family next door. In fact, your neighbor may not be anyone you know or ever laid eyes on or ever will lay eyes on. Your neighbor is the poor, ragged, hungry black man with rotting teeth sleeping on the sidewalk grates of the city of New York, Detroit, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C., and in the woods of Bay County, Florida. Your neighbor is the terrified immigrant child who's been taken away and separated from his parents. Your neighbor is that immigrant child's immigrant mother who, because she trusted, believed, and hoped in America, now does not know where the hell her little child is. These are your neighbors. And this is the gospel of the Lord.